What's up, Carlo?
Not much, man.
It's a nice, lovely day. Nice, lovely autumn day.
My favorite season.
Why?
I don't know. Beautiful.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But it means that the next season that's coming is winter.
Welcome to being a Canadian.
How is the Jenny business these days?
Has there been
a slight downturn?
There has been. I think everybody in any trade this season, this summer season, is definitely slowed down.
Yeah.
And then it automatically, like the past month for me, it's picked up a lot. So I kind of enjoy the break.
So we like the past September. So like, what do you think is the cause of that? Like people just trying to get some buttons going on and before the winter?
The cause of the downturn?
Yeah. No, the kind of slight bump up. I know the downturn. I know the reason why the downturn is there.
I don't know. Maybe they're starting to see positive things happening. Maybe the election in the U.S. Maybe... I don't know.
100%. The election in the U.S. is going to completely change things here.
Well, it's a very important one. Very important.
I got Liam LaBeur on the show next.
That's amazing.
You know who that is?
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
He's like, I don't know much about construction corruption, man. I was like, yeah, but you know a lot about political corruption.
Yeah.
So let's just discuss that.
That could That's be a long show.
Carlos back here, Effect Electric on IG. You can find him at Effect Electric LTD, Carlo at EffectElectric.com or .ca?
.com.
And you mentioned before we got rolling, Kohler, man.
Yeah, man.
Am I fair to say, or are we going to upset Pat, that Kohler's Jennies are better than competitors' Jennies?
Well, they all do the exact same thing, and the only difference is quality.
So less servicing going on with the Kohler ones versus the competition?
Well, they both have the same annual service timing.
Okay.
Different jobs.
Which you have to do.
Yes.
But just most like clients a car. Ignore?
Yes.
They just out of sight, out of mind?
Yeah, like with a Generac, you have to adjust their valves every year. No one does that unless you're Pat.
Like what's it cost?
Anywhere between $150 and $350.
It's nothing.
Well, considering you spent, let's say, $20,000.
Yeah.
So
spend like less than $500 annually just to kind of make sure that the unit is okay.
If you do your annual service every year,
yeah,
your generator will last decades.
What breaks down first on it? What have you seen?
Quality is the difference, right?
Okay, so what is the motors are lasting a long time
for a Kohler?
Yeah,
I'd say the most common would maybe be the controller. After like year 6 or 7, maybe it starts acting up. It's not that it's broken. It might just start acting up because that's the brain of the unit. And if you have your warranty, it's covered.
For how long? What's the warranty? Like?
5 year, 7 year, or 10 year. Yeah. And the Kohler's warranty is, I think, the only one that offers travel and labor included with the warranty.
What do you mean travel and labor? So your travel and your labor.
Yep.
It'll be included. So... Really?
Yep.
So it doesn't really cost you anything at that point.
As long as you have as long as you have your warranty and you haven't gone over your 2,000 hours.
Listen, with Kohler plumbing products, I've had parts fail almost 10 years. Actually, just over 10 years.
Yeah.
Part was replaced. It was sent. And then all I had to do was just replace it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just serviced an off-grid customer who wasn't my customer, just randomly called me 2 weeks ago. And he's like, yeah, I have an off-grid Kohler generator. It's acting weird. Come and service it. I go there and I look at the hours on the controller. It's only 3 years old. And it was 2,800 hours of runtime already. Because it's off-grid, right?
It's off-grid.
It doesn't have hydro. So he runs it every day for like 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day.
What's he using for power outside of that?
He did have a small solar setup.
Okay.
And while I was servicing his generator, he was actually upgrading his new solar setup. And he said that once the new solar setup's done, the generator is only going to run like 2 hours a day instead of like the 12 it's been running.
Where is he at?
Muskoka.
I thought you had to be still tapped in. They're allowing off-grid completely?
No, this is his land. It's not like a subdivision. It's not if you're in a subdivision or if you're in like a custom build on a street with a service, yes, there's rules and regulations and you have to fight it in order to be off-grid.
Can get off grid.
Oh yeah. Like his was, I think originally it was just a plot of land. He put a trailer there. He's been living there in the summertime, slowly building up his solar. And now he's doing his solar and generator. And now he's building up a solar with a better brand.
Not a bad idea if you think about it.
Well, it's a pretty good investment.
Yeah, he's got a septic. I guess he's doing septic.
I never asked, but I assume so. There's nothing there except the plot of land, right?
That's it. But he hasn't built yet. He's just got the trailer.
No, he's built. You can see the different stages on his property. You can see the original home, which is kind of like ghetto, yeah. And then a really nice home.
It's not a bad idea if you think about it in today's terms because of the crap that they're attaching with everything that's being built, right?
Yeah, I mean, the costs are only going up. It's something to think about going into the future.
What's this promo? What's going on for the promo?
So right now, Kohler's got their fall promotion. It's October 9th to November 20th, a free ATS, automatic transfer switch, with any purchase of a generator.
What's normally the retail on that?
Their retail doesn't include duties and shipping. Okay. So they're giving you $1,235, I think, off the price,
the
cost. But it costs us, like, we sell them for $1,450.
Just you and an apprentice these days still?
Me, Dylan, who's 10 years as of last week.
Okay.
And his apprentice.
Oh, so you got three guys now?
Yeah.
Well, total, three guys.
Yeah, it used to be, it goes up and down. I mean, I run my company very lean for times just like this.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
When did you, Carlo, start seeing, it almost feels like a lot of people in the industry were blindsided by this.
I'm not.
Dude, this has been going on for
the beginning of COVID. Should have been a wake-up call.
Yeah, that's the starting point. But everybody was just shopping spree.
I've been prepping ever since.
4 years.
Yeah. That's good to have that, you know.
Yeah. But you got a lot of this younger generation that are...
They don't know.
Clueless about it.
Well, I even tell Dylan, who's 28, I think, 10 years. This is his first experience in a downturn.
What's his thought?
He has no idea. Like, he doesn't even have a thought about it. I'm literally teaching him.
You letting him know that it's still going to get worse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He gets that it's going to
get worse. You know what? I've been in his ear for the past 4 years, and he thought I was crazy.
He didn't think it was going to happen, like it was going to unfold.
He just thought I was crazy. And he actually just said, I still think you're crazy. But, you know, you got to experience it in order to see it. So I'm not offended by anybody who, especially someone who's young.
I was at an event, and I think that, and I'll ask Liam this on when we record. Isn't the government talking about adding a tariff to aluminum?
Yeah, they're adding a tariff on anything they can.
So that's going to affect you, no?
Everything affects us. Everything affects us. Copper goes through the roof. It doesn't even make sense. Like the lies they told us in the past is what we're supposed to believe. Doesn't even apply to now, and they want us to ignore what they told us. You know, so like. For example, when you're young, car insurance. Oh, it's because you have one or two tickets that your insurance went up. That was always the answer. It's because you're a male, which is, I guess.
Because of your age.
Because your age.
Because your lack of experience.
Now, even if you have a clean record, you have lots of experience, it's doubling. Dude. And then you call them and say, why? And they're like, and then they give you some other bullshit reason.
It goes up every year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I've been a good boy. Yeah. I know what it is to be a bad boy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've been a good boy for 20 plus years.
Oh, my insurance premiums are. Shock keep
going
me.
Up.
Shock me.
And the shitty thing is that I'm almost 53. I guess at some point at 60, it starts to flip around the other way, where they start considering you a risk, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's hard for seniors to buy a car brand new from a dealership at that age, which is a joke.
They won't sell to seniors?
Well, I think once you get on, this happened to my father, once you get on your pension, it's very hard for you to buy a new car.
Because of financial, right?
Yeah.
Unless you buy it outright.
Yeah, exactly. Those are two options when you're 70.
Yeah.
Which you don't have that problem in your 40s and 50s and 30s and all that stuff, right?
So. But then you can't prove financial stability. So you have to walk in there with a shoebox full of cash.
Yeah.
Then they'll report you saying, listen, where'd you get all this cash from?
Yeah, no one accepts cash.
You know what? Actually, the same place that our government got it from.
Yeah.
Simple as that, right?
It's a crazy time right now, that's for sure.
No, because I was looking at it and I was talking about metal roofs and all the metal flashing and it's primarily aluminum.
Yeah.
And then powder coat or whatever it is finished that way, right? And I'm like, this is all going up. Yep. Everything's going up here. Yep.
Everything, copper, aluminum, anything and everything, they're just finding excuses. There should be no reason why things are going up the way that they are.
But then you got to defend it to your clients.
Yeah, I mean, well, like even doing generators, a lot of the companies who sell generators are only in the sales of generators. They don't install them because they're not electricians, right?
It's two different worlds.
So they make the profit on the markup of the generator, whereas I sell Kohler generators and transfers at cost because I make my money on the install.
Makes sense.
So I get a lot of customers who call me and say, oh, that guy's ripping me off. I'm like, no, he's not ripping you off. He's just not an installer. I choose to make my profit on the install, but he's got to make his money somehow, and he doesn't do the install, so he's making it on the generator.
What's, Carlo, what's the, in I guess in the last 10 years, what's been the cost increase on generators?
Oh, I'd say...
A decade ago.
A decade ago? Times? Yeah.
Or 2 times?
Yeah, for sure. A decade, yeah. Like, I do annual services for my customers from like 8 years ago, and they paid at least 40% less.
Units have gotten a little bit better. Technology's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, not 40% cost.
What do you think about this monkeyness that's going on, which is already starting in BC, how they're not running gas lines anymore to homes?
I'm not surprised.
So you can't install a generator now?
Yeah, propane.
But they're not going to allow you to put, like in a subdivision, they're not going to allow you to put a propane tank.
In BC?
Yeah. Well, they want the houses to be fully electric. So that basically automatically eliminates barbecues.
Yeah.
You'll have to do a small propane tank. You can't do direct lines anymore. And it automatically gets rid of generators now. You have no backup.
Yeah, line. I think everyone just pivots. I mean, I won't be surprised if Kohler comes out with a hydrogen generator in the future.
Well, that would be wicked, man.
Yeah, I'm not surprised if they
do. Have they talked to you about that?
Well, no, they post their hydrogen engines online. So you know it's coming.
Just water, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the future, right? So I'm not surprised.
It's going to be monstrously expensive or like...
Well, I mean, everything's got to be cost effective, right?
Yeah, it's the technology though, right? Yeah. So they figured it out. That makes a lot of sense, man.
Yeah, if you go on their page, they were promoting it a lot this summer at their shows.
They're not selling the units yet.
No, they've unveiled it at all the shows this summer.
Same looking unit, same size, same...
Well, no, they just show the engine. Oh. The hydrogen engine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's future.
Does that mean that you got to go in and do some more certification kind of thing?
Every year. October 21st is when I'm going.
Every year you got to do news, really, to find out what's new, what's going on.
Yeah, so like this year I do, Kohler's got a lot of training, rightfully so. Compared to all the other brands, that's the difference. In order for me to be able to sell their products, I got to be up to date on all the changes, right? So a lot of online courses in the next 2 weeks for me. And October 21st, I have it set up for me to do in person 2 days.
Do you get your guys to do them as well too?
No, that's a decision that I've made. I've kind of separated generators because my generator is kind of a separate company than the electrical, and they've got enough on their plate. So I'm literally the only guy who services all my generators for my customers.
So I want to educate the people. I know that you've posted some posts before where they park the units way too close to fence lines or way too close to house lines. Yeah. And you can't even open up the hood.
Yeah, there's the standard building code.
Yeah.
And then there's just the common sense code.
What's the code? Building code is 6 feet away from any other purgeable gas appliance.
10 feet.
10 feet now.
10 feet from gas vents?
Well, no, from anything I guess your meter, your exhaust fans.
Yeah. So it's
10 feet.
It's 10 feet from a vent, from a gas vent. I think, don't quote me on it, I think it is 6 feet from any door or window that opens. It could be eight. So just if you want to play safe, 10 feet from everything.
10 feet from everything. But now when you're dealing with homes that have minimums of 4 feet wide sides.
Yeah, no. The sides usually don't work out in all new homes. I usually have to put them in the front of the bush, like the front garden or the backyard.
But how much space do you need? Okay, the unit itself is what, 2 feet or something like that?
Depending on which model, but the standard is 4 foot by 2 foot.
4 foot by 2 feet.
And you got to keep it 18 inches away from your foundation, from your building structure.
From your home.
Yes.
And then the same amount from your fence line or more?
Depending on if it's combustible or not. Because if it's a wooden fence, you got to stay a certain amount of feet. Yeah, you got to stay a certain amount of feet away from the fence. There's a lot of there's a lot of stuff that you have to keep in mind.
Because it gets hot.
But what happens is we'll install it properly. And then a year later, when I come back for the service, they've built some doghouse around it because you've got to keep it's for the air cold. You got to keep the vents clear from any snow in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So for them, instead of going out there and shoveling to make sure no snow's built up where the air vents are, they'll build like a doghouse around it to keep the snow drifts away from the generator, which is okay and a good idea, but you still have to keep it away in a certain distance. So you got to keep the back like a good 5 feet of space in the back. If I ever have to service the back, how am I going to get back there?
Nobody's got that.
No space. One does that. They put it all tight to the sides and back. It doesn't breathe. And then
it chokes and it starts to fail.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
But I tell them this on the install. I tell everybody this. I should have a recording.
They don't, send it to them. They don't take notes.
I don't know. Yeah, they don't take notes. They just kind of remember.
What's the most convenient? It's the same thing with HVAC guys. Once they start setting up their HVAC and putting it inside the mechanical room.
Or you can just get a liquid cooled and you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But it's big money.
Twice?
Twice or even three times.
So versus
what? Half the sound. Very quiet.
When I did the very first one that I ever did, which was a Generac one,
mm-hmm.
we parked it, you know, where we were supposed to park it, but it was parked at the back of the house,
mm-hmm.
towards the side of it. He had a lot of space there. But when they turned it on for the first time, I was like, kind of loud, man.
For the liquid cool?
It wasn't a liquid cool.
Oh, yeah, air cooled. Air cooled are about 56 decibels.
It was louder than a mower, than a lawnmower.
It should be the same sound, the same decibels.
That's what they said. They said that it was going to be as loud as a lawnmower. And I was like.
But it depends on the brand.
It was a Generac one. I don't know
I don't know what the specs are for a Generac, so.
I have no idea.
But they're pretty comparable to a Kohler, like for the sound. They're all about 60 decibels, except the Kohler is 26 kilowatt, the biggest one. That's very quiet.
You don't need 26 kilowatt. What do you need for an average house? A 3,000 square foot house.
Oh, you know what? I tell everybody this. They've got their generator selective size tool, and you start clicking everything that's in your house, and they tell you the size you're supposed to. But if you're an electrician and you know how much load a house takes and all that stuff, it's pretty much what I tell everybody is if you don't have a pool or a hot tub and you just have a standard
stove,
one,
dryer,
one furnace, one AC, you can get away with a 12 or a 14. But you got to keep in mind what you're using when there's a power outage. Like, don't use the dryer. But you can,
if you got a gas dryer, you can use it.
There you go. So, like, gas
stove appliance, you can use it.
Stove's not even a big deal if it's electric because no one cooks with four burners and the oven at the same time. So,
yeah, that's max 20 amps.
The dryer is the biggest.
30 amps.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And it will draw 30.
Yeah.
So, the elements, right? Anything with a heating element will draw the most.
And it's the AC too, when it kicks in.
Yeah,
it
draws a lot, right? Yeah, but the AC turns on for half hour and then it turns off.
And then it turns off, yeah.
The dryer will run for an hour and a half.
So, an average house, you can get away with 12.
My house is on 12. Yeah.
Which one? Did you get the funky color ones? Or
No funky color ones.
Tan colored one?
And you know what the funny thing is? Since they came out, I've sold two in the, what's it called? The wood, you know, in the woods looking one there.
Camo. Camouflage
one. Yeah. That, but no like purple, yellows. None. It's a cool idea. I mean, if you want it, it's there. I mean, I think it would sell really good in Newfoundland.
It would work if your house was almost like, yeah, you're right. It would work if it was a wood siding house and it had a similar tone to that color of siding that you've chosen, the stain.
Yeah.
It would work in that application.
Yeah. So if you got
it would disappear.
If you got a yellow painted house, get the yellow generator.
It totally would work.
Yeah.
The camel one?
Camel one is actually, a lot of guys want it, but they don't want to pay the premium.
How much more is it?
Don't quote me on it. I think it's around $1,000.
Is it a paint or is it
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. That's what I thought. It makes sense to be wraps, right? Even the colors, the other ones?
Yep.
They're all wraps.
Yeah.
Does a wrap fade over time?
No. It's good. It's a good quality wrap. Yeah, it's solid. Like you can't even see the edging when you look inside.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the edge. I can't even see the edging.
So I can only assume ever since the pandemic and what's been going on, I guess, in construction, sales for generators just gone through the roof. They probably inquire, but then once they start realizing how much.
You know what? I can't have an opinion on that because I didn't really start pushing until the COVID happened.
Okay, all right.
Like I used to sell a lot randomly. I didn't take it serious though until COVID happened. So yeah, sales have been great.
Are you the only certified, or how many certified Kohler guys are in this?
It's growing every year, but there's different Kohler authorized dealers. There's some that are just installers, some that are just service, and some that are just sales. I'm all three.
Okay.
There's a lot more installers than there is people like me. I think the dealers who have all three like me, I think there's only like 13 of us in all of Ontario.
Is that why you did a road trip to Ottawa?
Well,
was it Ottawa?
There's one guy in Ottawa who takes care of the whole area. The people still call me, so I'll go as long as they pay me. Like, I don't know, you follow me and see how far I go.
Yeah, you went crazy.
In 2 weeks we're going to Thunder Bay, right? Yeah, so we travel a lot.
But I mean, the per diem on that, it makes sense to get you up there.
Well, we're not going for generators.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so all those right. are just commercial.
But contracts. you're charging your time
there. Yeah, but we still like for generators, we go as far as North Bay.
Wow, that's still a chunk of time.
Yeah, because there's no one up there. Like the world is your oyster up there for generators, for Kohlers anyways.
Yeah.
Or like there is one dealer out there in the north, and I don't know, a lot of his customers call me. So who am I to argue with him?
Is Dylan loving the fact that he's got you as a mentor? Like, did he like hit gold at that point where he met you? And
he didn't know it, but I know. I think he's starting to see it.
Starting
now.
To realize.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, he's 28 now. He's an old enough man to start.
He's been with you for
10 years. Yeah, 18. I got him as a kid. Right?
No, exactly. Right. So I'm all of a sudden he's like that's gold mine at that point. Right?
He didn't know it in the beginning.
No,
we were butting heads like crazy. I had a lot more patience too back then. Like I couldn't do what I did with him now.
With the new guy.
Yeah, I don't have the patience anymore.
Well, you know what's funny is he's going to do it one day soon.
Well, probably. he's got his...
He's doing it now.
He's got his apprentice and he tells me, hey, do you want to take him for a couple of weeks? Because he needs to know what it's like to work with you. And I'm like, you got to do what I did to you.
Simple.
Yeah, but just he's too
transfer
nice.
Transfer it, man.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. But he's realizing that there's a lot of value of being, I lucked out with this one person.
Oh, yeah. Like you know, you go through trade school and you start talking about the differences between their company and your company that you work for, right?
Yeah.
And until that day happens, you don't really appreciate or know the difference. And then once he got his license and his buddies got his license from school, then they start talking about how much do you get paid? What do you get? Where do you go? They start comparing apples to apples. And that's where the guys leave. If you don't treat your guys properly,
they'll leave.
They will jump ship.
Yeah. For a dollar, less than, whatever.
I mean, money obviously is a big reason, but I mean, work environment, what you give them, like that also is a huge thing.
Is it a good time with what's about to happen economy-wise for all these young tradespeople to be jumping ship?
Oh, no.
It's a bad
time. No, bad. No, you don't want to play that game. You have no worth yet. You don't.
You're another phone call.
You know, if you're making, I mean, at the end of the day, everyone has the exact same job to do when they work for somebody. Your only job is to make more money than your boss is paying you. Yeah. If you cost your boss more, he's going to let you go. That's just simple. Economics.
It's business.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, if you don't have that value, like he can't afford to lose you or doesn't want to lose you, then you shouldn't be looking anywhere else. You should be actually grateful that you have, you know, what you have. Especially if you're like a first year, you're so replaceable. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Like you could just be like, I'm sorry. Okay.
Again, this is where the patients come in. You understand where they're coming from. They think they're this shit, you know, but they don't know.
But there's a lot of you pieces of shit out there. That's basically the truth of it. You got to understand that. So if you find a place that's pretty good and they're paying you pretty well, you don't leave. And
I know, but you don't have enough experience to even like the union, right? Everyone jumps ship from non-union to union because you see the dollar signs. What they don't know is the experience of you're just a number. That's huge. You're literally just a number. Like Dylan is family to me. I've had him for 10 years. Yeah. I've watched him grow up.
Yeah.
Right. We've had a lot of long talks on those drives.
Yeah.
Right. So he's not just a number. When you're in a union, you are just a number. They don't give a shit about you. When it's time, when Christmas time comes, you will get laid off like 90% of the union guys because it's slow.
It's happening right now.
Oh, now it's because the economy's tanking. They don't have to wait till Christmas. They're getting laid off now. Like, I'm in a group chat and just talking to everybody in that group chat. They're all taking a beating.
What percentage of the workforce is home that you're hearing about?
Like, what do you mean, total?
Yeah.
Like, in six
union,
years...
Union-wise.
In 6 years, no one was home if you were good. And now, everybody I know who owns companies, I'd say... They've all laid off about 30 to 40% of their workforce. Yeah. And that's only the beginning, right? Next year's going to be worse than this year. And again, if you don't follow economics, if you don't care to follow politics, if you don't care to follow all that stuff, you have no idea. You're just believing what they're telling you on the TV.
You're going to get steamrolled, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, no, I'm all on top of that.
The really shitty thing is that I think a lot of contract renegotiations are coming up.
Yeah, and what are you going to use as leverage?
You have none.
You have none. You better kiss their ass that you still have a job.
It goes back to the same thing, that if you're young, you're just getting started, and you want to get more, now's not the time to leave.
You know what? I feel sorry for a lot of people. Like, so the way that I run my company, I get shit on by my peers who have their companies because they feel that I'm doing it wrong, right? I don't take offense to that at all. Everyone has a different way.
Wrong exactly?
Well, what if I get offered 30 blessing jobs that are mine if I want them? I get to personally, I pick and choose which ones out of those 30. Okay. I'll take 6 and let go of 24. That's how I run my company.
Yeah. Right. Did you know that you can do the 6?
They've been taking all 30 for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
As much as they can, hiring, trucks, stress, all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. That's just not me. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to run my company like that. I've run it lean as possibly a company can run. So when things like this happen, I'm still okay. So instead of getting offered 30 jobs, now when there's a downturn, I might be getting offered 10, but I'm still fully booked. And I tell my guys all the time, we work on average about 55, 60 hours a week, every week, all year long, average. Sometimes it's 80, sometimes it's 75 a week, right? And I tell them, I can hire 2 more guys, take the workload off you guys.
No, it's not a good idea.
But when it gets slow,
yep.
Then you guys are all going to get cut back. Yeah. Or be grateful that we have 70 hours a week, every week, for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
And then it'll go back down to 50 hours a week. Yeah. And you get all that overtime and banked hours and all that other fun stuff. And then we do get a lot of time off. You follow me. I shut down for 6 weeks a year.
Yeah.
The whole company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a pretty good package.
I don't understand why the competition is actually looking at it like you're doing it.
They just think I'm doing it wrong.
They're just figuring you might as well gobble up whatever's out there right now and just take as much work and just book it, get on the schedule, delay things, while that shit.
I don't know. I think a lot of people think the definition of success is a shop, 100 guys, 50 trucks. Seriously. In my opinion, it's not.
No.
My opinion is enough the money to pay your bills with enough time spent with your family.
That increase in overhead and that overextension is a recipe for disaster.
It could be. I can't say either or. It could be. Like, I know guys that are making millions and they have all that, what I'm talking about, and they have a good thing going. So, I mean, they, you know, that's their way and I have my way. But in the beginning, I never wanted that. So.
Yeah, but you've changed your business since the time that you got in and you started it.
You have to.
And you have to adapt with what's going on.
Constantly.
Economy-wise.
Constantly.
And then you got to figure out, okay, guys, we need to start looking at the next 5 years here.
Yeah.
Like, this is how big of a problem this is. But we can solve this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could totally weather this and work it out and figure it out and then get to the end of the 5 year and then be really...
Everyone's world's different. I mean, if you only do electrical, if you're an electrician or a plumber or anything, if you only do a certain road with that field, you're stuck to having a one-time customer that only calls you as a repeat once every 5 years when there's a problem. And you better have a big list of customers in order to keep paying those bills.
Hundreds.
That's that road. I mean, you can do, I pivoted to data and data centers, which is nothing to do with electrical. It's a separate company.
Yeah.
And I try to fill in all the calendar with evenly. So like if someone says I need to do a custom home, my next opening for that is next spring. But if someone says they need a generator because it's generator season right now, I'm open from now till Christmas for all generators, nothing.
Generator season now? The fall is always generator season?
In my opinion, yes.
Because of winter.
It's like a wake up call. Oh my God, the seasons are changing. We might want to get a generator. And everyone calls me. Now is the busiest time for me. So when someone calls me for a hot tub, no. Like you probably, if I have a date, I'll do it. But otherwise, it's in springtime. Potlatch is springtime. This is how I run my company. Like everything has its seasons.
It kind of makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it fills in pretty good.
And that way you could tell your supplier, you could tell Kohler, get prepared for it, anticipate
that's what I do.
Going to come down the pipe, right?
Yeah.
And then you do your sales based on that. You start speaking to potential clients going, listen, this is what I'm thinking about. We should get it done now.
It's a big juggling act.
Yeah.
Yeah. The money I make from my electrical in the summertime, I use it to stock up on my generators for the fall and winter. Right? Like, that's how I do it.
When do you think, Carly, you're going to get off the tools?
I'm pretty much doing that now.
Yeah, so now you're managing the biz.
Yeah, I mean, the past 3 years, I've been pushing the envelope to see how much I can get away with being less involved. And there, of course, there's mistakes. And then I'll show Dylan what mistake he's made, and he's usually receptive to that. And then we'll see the next time we try it, if he gets it or not. And then once I feel comfortable, I'll step away from that and try to push something else.
What are you going to do? You going to stay in the office kind of thing? Or are you going to stay in the truck?
No. I love servicing generators.
Okay, all right.
So like that is my semi-retirement life. All I'm going to do is service generators. Personally, that's why I never taught them really. Like, so they're doing the electrical portion.
Yeah.
And they help me with the installs, but servicing is all me.
Over 630 shows, The Construction Life. This show is constantly evolving. The idea is that I'm listening to the guests and I'm listening to our audience and I'm trying to figure out where else can we take the conversation. Listen, I understand. It's not always about swinging the hammer. I've told everybody since day one, TCL is 50% about swinging the hammer and TCL is 50% about the person swinging the hammer. So now we're taking it to the next level, level X. In TCLX, we invite guests to share their dark, hidden secrets of the industry without fear of reprimand. Each guest's identity will be protected with visual blurring and voice modification, allowing them to speak freely and openly. You might want to tune in to TCLX. It'll be exclusive. You'll have to find it where the real hard stories are going to be told and nothing's off limits. Because at The Construction Life, the truth matters. Book now to be a guest on the show. You can DM me through any of the social platforms. You can email me at info@theconstructionlife.com or you can text me at 416-433-5737. TCLX is coming soon.
Yeah.
Ideally, because there's a house in the neighborhood. It's the only one that I can see it. They did a Generac.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran the tech cable along the base of the garage mm-hmm. foundation.
Yep.
Clipped it to it. Put all the transfer switch and everything there, right? In an ideal world, what would you want? All your runs. Like, you got your gas run, you got your tech cable run, you got the transfer going to the meter, and then you got where the panel location is.
Yep.
Ideally, in a perfect install, you want everything hidden, right? You want everything in a path, right? You want everything buried, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the most cost-effective way is the nicest way to install it. Like, if your gas and your meter are on the same side of the house, well, everything's there.
But if they're not,
then
one's got to go to the other.
Yes. And now which one's more expensive? Me running electrical to the generator or the gas going to the generator? And we do everything but gas. So we have to sub out our gas part portion.
Electrical would be expensive. But running a tech would be more expensive because the actual product is more expensive.
Well,
running a gas
flexible. I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't have an HVAC company, so a gas company, so I don't know how much they charge. Like, they charge me.
$350 to $550.
Yeah.
Depending on
what are their hourly rates the same as ours, or are they less? I don't even know.
No, they're about the same.
They're the same, right? Yeah. They're about
the same. So that's what I'm saying is that the cost of that Warflex is much cheaper than the cost of that tech.
Yes, unless you start getting into like the underground yellow gas line, that's pretty expensive. That's like because you can't get those in cuts. You got to buy the whole coil.
No, you got to buy the
And that's pretty expensive.
But if you can run it through the house, if it's able to run it through 100%, the house,
always run it through.
Then that's going to be a lot cheaper to do that. And all that is just manual labor to drill the holes.
And that's what I tell every customer. Here's a set price. If everything's perfect, gas and electrical and the generator is sitting right in front, here's that price. And the only cost difference is if you wanted the back of the house, well, now you're paying for trenching, labor, and wire. That's literally the cost difference.
Yeah. So let's say the meter's at the back of one side of the house. The location of where you want the generator is on that same side at the front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then the panel is on the other side of the house with the meter.
Yeah. You'd want to run it through the house. If you can't run it through the house, I usually tell them hire a gas company to get the
gas. So you're going to run the gas through the house from the meter mm-hmm. to where you want to put the location for the generator.
Yeah.
And then you want to run the tech from the generator location through the house again.
Yeah.
And then back to
Everything panel. From the ATS to the generator.
Yeah.
Kohler has a dedicated 120 volt, 15 amp circuit separate from the,
oh really?
Yeah. That's dedicated for their battery charger and their, cold weather kits. So it doesn't affect the generator itself.
Battery charger. What are you talking about?
So there's a trickle charger and a cold generator.
Oh, in the generator. It keeps it warm.
Yeah.
It keeps it active.
Well, you need the battery to do the initial crank.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Generac, it comes off of their main feed.
Oh.
Kohler has a separate feed dedicated for their trickle charge.
Just for that?
Yeah. So if it ever fails, it doesn't affect.
So you're running two lines now?
Yes.
The Generac 2 or no, 1
light? 1. They don't have that dedicated 120 volt 15 amp circuit.
To do that, man. Like,
and that's why a lot of people question, oh, why do you have a plug behind your generator, which no one usually does. It's like, well, that's the dedicated circuit that caller requests, but it's not GFI protected. And every
does it need to be?
Yes, everything outside needs to be GFI protected.
Yeah,
now.
That's right.
Yeah, so
20 amp?
15.
Oh, 15.
Yeah.
Because you just need that spark.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just a trickle charger battery and a good 50, like some of those cold weather kits are drawing 700 watts, right? So.
And then ideally the units should be parked on concrete. They shouldn't be parked on patio stones or.
No, it's fine.
It doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, as long as it's level.
It's only for us here. I mean, south of us in the U.S., they don't even put it on slabs. They just put it on crushed gravel and drop the generator on there because there's a built-in base already in the generator.
Made out of what?
The aluminum, that it's the actual frame.
Okay, yeah. So it's part of it.
Yeah, it's part of it. So in the U.S., they just drop it on crushed gravel. Here, yeah, we do pads, we do. And I asked the customer, okay, well, the pad is $450, the concrete pad, the gen pad. You want to save $450? But personally, I like to leave it as high as possible, too.
Because it's snow.
Snow, maintenance, flooding, if you live in that kind of an area.
How much higher on the grade? Are you going like 6 to 8?
No, like 4.
4?
Yeah. Okay. But that's, 4 is our concrete pad. And then the generator has a built-in good 2 to 3 inches.
That's below the whole carcass?
Yeah,
the whole,
yeah.
Okay, so it's at the base of it.
Yes.
So that's already elevated.
Yes.
For that reason. Yeah. But then now you're adding 4 inches.
So you're getting a good 8 inches when everything's done inside, yeah. Above grade.
Which makes sense.
But like if you live in a water prone area, then we sell stainless steel generator stands. And you can just tell me how high you want it and I'll get my manufacturer to custom make it. If you're looking through some of my posts, there's a couple in there.
Oh, to see it, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious about that, yeah.
Yeah, if you, and then that way you really don't have to worry about any snowfalls, really, or any maintenance, like for the airflow.
Anyway, I mean, we're not that bad here in Canada where that pad is going to be lifting up dramatically, right? So it doesn't matter.
No, our weather's been good, but as of late, as you can see, it's been getting really weird lately.
It's really, so I have no idea what winter's going to be.
I think it's going to be bad.
But you're still going to get ground that's going to shift a bit, but everything's flexible. Your tech cable's flexible. Yes. Your Warflex is flexible.
By cold, yeah.
Right? So you have to be.
Yeah.
And then other than that, like, what do you... You just leave it, protect it. You got to watch it for the snow. You got to...
Every week it runs for 10 minutes. When it
once
runs...
Once a week you pick a time, right?
Yeah. And then once it does its 10-minute checkup, if there's any problems, it'll show you on the app. Kohler's app is free. There's no monthly fee like everybody else's app.
It'll let you know it's activated and...
It'll let you know when it's running. It'll let you know when it's disconnected from the street if there's a power outage. So if you're on vacation, it'll send you a notification saying, hey, power turned off, generator kicked on, all is good.
What was I? I was talking to somebody about... Oh, yeah, it was the Avis guys were telling me about two routers, two systems for internet, and how they did that as redundancy.
Yeah, I had that in my house.
Yeah, so then if one goes down, the other one automatic, but there's no lag in between the two.
No.
But with a generator, you got that, what is it, like 30 seconds or something like that?
Well, the boot up of a modem, so the whole process of switchover is 10 seconds.
Okay.
And because it's... turned off for a split second and then turned back on for nine seconds later, then you got to wait for the modem to reboot and your app will be offline for a good couple minutes. If you don't want that to happen, I tell my customers to spend $50 on a little small UPS that you can buy at Best Buy or Canada Computers and you plug your modem into that and anything else you want in that, that's small
has
drop.
Battery backup.
And there will be no, there will be no reboot.
Yeah.
It'll be online.
And then by the time... Yeah, the generator will kick in, power will be there, and it will appear as if no power went away.
That's right.
Because obviously, we're seeing more brownouts.
Yes. And the way that our, they're not spending the money where they're supposed to, this government, so there's gonna our structure is getting worse and worse. And get ready.
Why does Toronto Hydro have such a monopoly? Well, it's not even Toronto Hydro, it's all the hydro utilities. And
no,
all this,
no, it's Toronto Hydro.
It's Toronto Hydro,
Toronto
right?
Hydro's got a monopoly.
They got a huge monopoly.
Yeah, we talked about this in the past. I as soon as someone says, hey, can you come and give us a quote for Toronto? I usually say no. It's just not worth my time, my effort, the bullshit that I got to deal with. I did a custom home. I finished it up this year. I never do custom homes, but it was for a family, a family cousin there. And man, that solidified the reason why I don't do it.
Because of Toronto Hydro.
What a nightmare. What a nightmare to deal with them.
They just weren't. They're not the fastest moving.
It's all bullshit. It's all costs. It's all costs.
Yeah.
Crazy costs.
Yeah.
The exact same jobs that I'll do north of the 401, the exact same work, there's thousands of dollars that we had to pay for Toronto that we don't pay for anyone else. And then what happens is other hydro suppliers see that and say, well, now we can do it. That's where they're going, right?
I saw that in kind of Mississauga.
Yeah, it's slowly. Toronto was the first one to charge disconnect, reconnect fees. And they started doing that.
Disconnect fees.
Yeah, and they started doing that in the early 2000s. Before 2000, it was part of your monthly bill. It was a gesture that you're already paying us a monthly bill. You're allowed one disconnect, reconnect once a year for free. It's not for free. It's part of your bill that you pay for the year.
You're paying it still.
And everyone did that. Toronto Hydro was the first one to start charging this fee. And then once they got away with it, Electra starts charging in different rules. So I don't know if they charge. No one charges it still north of Highway 9, let's say, which is 30 minutes north.
Who's the utility up there?
Hydro One.
It's still Hydro One.
Yes. It's mixed now because Electra is eating up everybody. Electra is buying out all the small. So like I live in Innisfil and it's owned by InPower.
Okay.
Right? They're going to get eaten up by Hydro One. I guarantee it. Money talks.
So then it would just be the same rules applied on every single municipality.
That's right.
And you're just going to accept.
Because they're small and they're local, I know all the guys. When I have to do a disconnect, reconnect, the inspector is fantastic, the ESA inspector in that area. So you end up getting this bonds with these guys for years. And then once they get eaten up, it's over. You're just a number, typical union. They don't give a shit.
There's got to be a way for us to fight back. Like I saw in the news recently, Cineplex just lost a huge lawsuit. Something like $32
for gouging
million.
A fee.
Yeah,
a fee.
The online fees.
Yeah.
So they weren't supposed to do that at all. And then they started doing it during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kept it in place.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Everyone else is charging a fee.
So in tech, then that's why I brought up the Hydro One about the Toronto Hydro about the two fees. Obviously, if you do a disconnect, you can have the expedited version, mm-hmm. which is one fee. Or you can have the one that takes the standard 6 to 9 months or whatever. And you got to go through the whole process.
Yeah.
Two different, completely different prices.
You know what?
For what purpose?
And I see from a different view because I'm going to sound old. I've been doing it for 27 years. So when I got my license, you could disconnect the power without hydro being involved. I would call them. They'd be like, go ahead and cut it. I would go up there with a ladder, cut it myself as a licensed guy. Right? This is how it was in 2001.
You weren't worried about that?
No, this is how we were trained. This was considered normal.
Okay.
Right? And it comes in handy all the time now because I'm not afraid of that stuff. Safety is obviously.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas, because no one has that experience anymore, it's like a lost trait.
They're not teaching it as
part. Well, you're not allowed to work live. You're not allowed to work live anymore.
So they're just taking it out.
It's gone.
And giving it to them.
Yeah, so whenever my guys have to service and they're dressed in their R-Clash suits and all their safety suits, which we didn't have in 2000, they're shaking like a leaf. They're sweating and shaking like a leaf. and me watching, it's pretty funny.
I just find when they come on your site, they are so slow to move, to do anything. Well, it's always four or five of them.
Yes.
For the task of one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's protocol. They make up some protocol and they justify it. Safety is always the justification.
I wonder if someone's going to be reaching out to me now, what the fuck are you talking shit about us?
And I'm I don't care.
Come on, guys.
Hate me all you want.
This is a pure definition of union kind of corruption bullshit.
Well, this is why unions are failing right now. Right?
You think they'll completely disappear? No, can't.
One-third of they're government funded now. So how are they going to disappear?
No.
Right? They're the ones who push the COVID. They're supposed to be protecting the union members. A lot of blue-collar men and women did not want to take that shot. And where was the union when they didn't want to take that shot?
They didn't speak up, right?
They didn't say shit.
Well, because they were in bed with them, right?
But that's the wake-up call. So I knew that before that happened. Now the rest of the world sees the truth.
I was just at an event and I was supposed to speak to somebody. And the person that was there, which works with him, he was like, he can't make it because he just tested positive for COVID. And I was like, is that a thing still?
Are we still doing that?
He's going
to
stay home.
As long as you can, as long as you can have a tool to justify getting away with something, I guess they're going to still use it.
How many times have you been on a job site when you had the flu and you're just sniffling and you're getting all kinds of mucus all over your tools and you're working away?
If you're an entrepreneur, that's your life.
That's your business.
That's your life.
That's it. So if you stay home and hug the couch and watch daytime TV or whatever, then you're not making money.
It's a sin now to get sick.
So he was just like, yeah, he's going to stay home for a few days. And I'm like,
good luck.
I have no idea why this is a thing anymore.
Yeah, I'm not entertaining these conversations anymore with anybody. If anyone wants to play that game, I'll just completely ignore them.
Yeah, though. You just completely.
Yeah, I'm not playing that game.
You gotta go back to your planet.
I never played it in the beginning, so now at this point, don't even try.
You ever think about, or have you entertained the idea of getting into EV and chargers and setting those up?
Installing them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've installed a couple.
You've done them?
Yeah,
yeah. That's part of the, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was actually installing a lot of them in 2018-19, but they're low on my scale of what I should
you
be
offer
scheduling.
It.
Yeah, I offer it, but they're dead last on my availability.
Are you ready to take your construction business to the next level? Consider joining the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance Program, TAP, where skilled professionals connect, collaborate, and grow together. Our network is built on mutual respect and the shared goal of always building better. As a member, you'll have access to a wealth of resources designed to streamline your operations and attract more clients. From a 30-minute assessment call with myself to expert consultations in business, finance, and health, we've got you covered. Your business information will be featured at www.theconstructionlife.com, complete with certifications, logos, and geo-targeting to help you reach the right audience. Promote your business with a 30-second advert across TCL social channels and our popular podcasts. Get exclusive access to TCL networking events and roundtable shows where you can connect with other tradespeople and general contractors, plus enjoy TCL merchandise, member-exclusive content, and a spot in the TAP directory online. We're going to promote you guys to homeowners across Facebook groups. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your business. Become a member of the Construction Life's Tradespeople Alliance program today and start reaping the benefits. Visit us at www.theconstructionlife.com for more details, or DM us through any of the social platforms, or text me directly at 416-433-5737 to learn more and consider being a TAP member today.
I remember the first time that my electrician, this is years ago, he did a Tesla one, the very first mm-hmm. one, and one of the first ones. And he was like, man,
I had to have been the first one. Like, I didn't know anybody.
But the customer service for him to get a hold of anybody at Tesla is to kind of walk him through or just answer a question. Really? He said he had a pain in the ass like to do it.
I don't know how it is now.
But I have no idea. This but is years I was, ago.
Well,
maybe so seven.
I was a big, I'm still a big fan of the technology, right?
Okay.
And I'm biased because I'm an electrician. So in that aspect, I bought my Tesla in 2015. I don't have it anymore. But when I bought that in 2015, I'm pretty sure I was the only one I knew who had one. It was really early in the day.
Why did you get rid of it?
Well, no
time. You had it for how long?
3.5 years.
There was a guy out of, what the hell's his name? He sent me an email and he was making a comment. He goes, why are you shitting on eBay, man?
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the tech. See, I think people are, like everything else, they're pitting one against the other. Gas versus electric. No. They're not even in the same realm. This is two completely different things. So there's no competition. There's no competition.
It's just listen, you're an Android, I'm an iPhone.
Yes.
That's how I look
at it. Android for life.
that's what I mean, right? So, and I'm slowly like thinking about, because Apple's just becoming this.
$2,000 for a phone? No shot in hell.
It's just becoming this stupidity that I can't justify supporting them anymore.
$400.
Yeah, I know. I just it's becoming done. Really funny, right?
Does so the
I
same look, thing your $2,000 phone
but
does.
But when they're pushing it and they just keep pushing it, I'm like, I'd rather it as a consumer option, not as a consumer mandate. Oh, yeah.
That's where they went wrong.
Yeah.
They're pushing it on you, trying to get rid of it. But their reason for it, in my opinion, is control, right? They have a lot of control with electric vehicles. You can turn it off. You can block somebody, you can lock them out, you can do all kinds of things with an electric car that you can't do with a gasoline car. So for that reason alone, do not go electric because the government is involved.
Yeah, they're attached to it.
Yes, they're attached to it.
Which makes
they're
no
funding
sense
all the crap.
So. You know about the Chinese ones, right?
Yeah, 100% tariffs. Because they know that they'll sweep all the other manufacturers. They're not doing anything for the benefit of us. It's all about them.
Even I would consider that's like $30,000.
Why do you think they did that?
Because they want to try to build their own infrastructure here, which is going to cost us a lot of money.
No, because they've already invested billions of dollars already into their EV showdown with GM and the payouts.
It's not going to compete.
So that would hurt them if they let them in.
But it won't compete. Their Canada's version won't compete.
You know what, though? Quality always competes. Quality always wins. Their little $20,000 Chinese EVs are great for the costs, but the quality's not there.
But it's okay when we were younger, we all bought pieces of shit vehicles because that's what we could afford.
Pontiac 6000.
Yeah. And they lasted. We took care of them and they drove and they made sense, right? Yeah. I even remember a friend had a Lada. Mm-hmm. Like we were using Ladas and we all know what a Lada is, right? Yeah, it's just like that, and you can't destroy those things.
Yeah.
So now you're bringing in this vehicle. If it's a piece of shit, it's still going to, it'll run its 4-year course. And then the amount of money that you'll save because it's so much more reasonably priced. Like when you get to EVs and they're becoming luxury tax vehicles.
Yeah, no,
that makes no sense.
But that's the government. There's that tax shouldn't even be there.
I don't want no luxury tax vehicle.
I don't want
no
tax.
I know lots of builders and tradespeople that are all buying luxury tax vehicles.
No.
Anything over 100.
You know what you've seen what I drive?
Yeah.
A Maverick.
Yeah.
The cheapest Ford truck you can get.
It serves the purpose.
My employee drives a Lariat.
Does he really?
I'm the owner. I'm like, are you nuts?
What, a fully loaded Lariat?
Yeah. I'm trying, again.
Does he have the horn on the front?
I don't know. No. But I'm trying to teach him finances too, right? I'm trying to teach him how much of a waste of money. You do not need, no one needs that. I mean, if you're
using half the amount of gas.
Oh, yeah. If you have excess and the where we drive, Thunder Bay and all that stuff. Yeah. No, I need something good on gas. So I'm saving just in gas. If people were to just use a little bit of common sense and downgrade their vehicles, new vehicles, but just don't get the pigs. Don't get the V8s unless you need it. Unless you're in that world that you need a V8.
You need that torque. You need that power.
If you need it.
If you're
how many guys
makes sense.
How many guys are journeymen who drive to job sites in a V8 Dodge?
It happened the other day. I see this guy pull up in a fucking.
Those are 90 grand now.
The TRX. And I was like.
Oh, no. That's insane.
Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it, man. You're a contractor.
I appreciate it. I love them. I see them.
As a toy.
Yes.
If you've got extra amount of disposable income, but sure.
I do, and I still won't. I still can't.
As a work vehicle on a daily basis, I don't get it because I don't. They're V10s or what?
Which ones?
The TRX.
I think it's a V8, but
is it a V8?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
They're more than sixes, so they're just consuming gas.
But those are like 135, 150, if I'm not mistaken.
And they're popular on the theft scale.
Oh yeah, sure. Again, another perk about electric, you can't steal a Tesla, so you never hear them getting loaded up in trucks.
What's with all the fire that I'm seeing inside garages and shit like that? What is all that crap?
If you actually look into the data, more gas combustion engines catch fire than electric vehicles. They're just pushing it to give it a bad.
Well, what's exactly happening in that situation?
It's a malfunctions, batteries. It's technology. It is, right? Yeah,
we've seen it on tools sometimes.
But more gas combustion cars catch fire than electric cars.
What's the ratio right now regarding IC versus EVs?
Like in ownership?
No. Just vehicles. How many vehicles? What's the percentage? I know in California's got a huge population. Oh, like
50%. I think in California.
Yeah, it's insane, right?
No, I think ours is like 13%.
In Ontario?
Yeah, I think it's like not even, like maybe 10.
Factoring in, I started seeing actually here in Oakville, the little mini buses, the little cute sandwich buses that are all electric.
That's another misconception that people think they're all the same. They're not the same. Like Tesla is in a league of their own and still are. You can't compare the Ford F-150 electric truck.
No, and that's a mistake that Ford did. They decided to make their own technology.
Yeah,
and
they should just
piggyback on the
old technology. They're losing money of every sale on an F-150. How are you gonna survive?
Why didn't they just piggyback off of Tesla?
No one wanted to give them the congrats, the kudos. But now they all are forced into it. Now they're all using his superchargers, right?
But he offered GM it for free.
Yes, he offered the tech for free.
Yeah,
he
did it on purpose.
Yeah, but not the software.
What do you think of the Starlink bullshit?
Amazing.
No, not Starlink. I'm seeing the bullshit.
What?
The Quebec-based company that's going to set up a Starlink version of it.
Again, more government corruption.
Why don't we just piggyback off of Starlink here? And just
God forbid.
Here?
No. There's probably, if the RCMP ever looks into this Liberal government, you'll see that there's all kinds of payouts and backdoor deals based on that one deal, like they do everything else. Like anybody with a brain knows how stupid that is. Billions, $17 billion or how many billions of dollars when there's already a system, a worldwide system set up, which you can't do without Starlink, by the way. SpaceX.
You need SpaceX for it.
You need SpaceX
to... Because you got to piggyback off of their satellites.
So instead of paying them, you're going to pay them still to start... Oh my God. Like, don't even get me started on this. I'm going to get mad.
What do you think of that tunnel that Monkey Boy wants to build across from Markham to Scarborough?
Again, hire the boring company from Elon Musk and you'll get it done at half the cost, but they won't do it. They'll make it run as long as Eglinton and, you know.
The moment he said Leona has a tunnel training facility.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Now, why do you think they come up with all these ideas? Do you think it's for the betterment of us?
No.
Do you think it's because the union needs cash contracts to keep their members keep working. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it is. It has something to do with that. I just call it the Premier's pension plan.
I know so many guys who worked at that TTC tunnel for years now.
So someone told me recently, off mic, and I'll share this, but I won't share the person who told me. The reason the Crosstown LRT Eglinton is not open yet, TTC is actually pushing back. They don't have the workforce to supply to make the trains move on those tracks. It has nothing to do with the actual physical construction of the tracks.
That's crazy.
It's the TTC is pushing back the start date of it. They don't want to get it open up and start working employees.
At this point, there's no...
That makes no sense.
I know. There's no... At this point, there's no excuse that they can say to justify how long that's taken. None.
But they keep on... Nobody's giving you an opening date.
No.
Right? And it's forever. People are still going there. Tradespeople are still going there. They're still submitting invoices. They're still doing work. And I'm like, this is all public funds. And I open this fucking thing and start getting... There's a trickle effect because obviously there was developers that had buildings that were going to be built along that line to benefit. And that's what part of the sale feature was. But now they're...
So what are the odds that finishes finally one day exactly when something new starts up?
Oh, 1,000%.
So that's all they're waiting for.
Yeah.
When you want to know when that's going to open up and finish.
And generally around election windows.
I'd say look at what their next big project is, like building a tunnel under the 401.
That's not going to happen.
I know. It's not going to.
What is the next big project then?
That's going on. The QEW. It's an 8-year shutdown plan, right?
From what to what?
Maybe we're not talking about the same thing.
No, I don't
know. The Gardner, I mean.
Oh, the Gardner.
The Gardner, sorry.
Yeah, they have it down to 2 lanes for 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, they're probably going to try to get rid of the whole thing.
When that thing... Well,
justifying and then what about the congestion?
They don't care. They don't care. Look at all the shit. Like, if they cared, they wouldn't have done what they did.
So I got to share this because I was downtown and I'm reluctantly always hesitant about going downtown. So I just don't. For that reason.
It's just
to navigate and get to certain spots. But the problem is that there's certain food that I have to eat and I haven't eaten in a while. So I have to get to downtown, right? So I was just told because I went to Island Foods there at Queen and Gladstone. They're there now, right? And I was craving a roti. And so I bumped into one of the old the owners and I've known them. Fuck. So long, two decades or something like that, right? And so we get talking a little bit, and then she starts telling me how they're in the bottom of a condo,
okay,
right on Gladstone,
and
just north of Queen Street. So she's telling me that there's tenants in the tower that will order Uber or DoorDash from their restaurant, and then they come in to grab the food, and then Island Foods tells the driver the building's right above.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? And
it's a constant, she's telling me.
Yeah.
Constant.
I know my buddy who owns a forming company, and he says one of his employees orders Starbucks on the job site.
Delivered. You won't catch me drinking that shit.
Well,
just because of the company.
I only drink water now and liquor.
Yeah.
Water and liquor.
Well, liquor is water.
Yes.
So there's water. In there. But it just, the mindset to do that, like, I don't understand. I'm still driving around going, I'm not paying for parking. I'm finding a spot.
That's a whole new thing.
They live right above in the same building.
But that's a whole new thing that I didn't grow up with. So I have no idea. Like, I don't use, as soon as the prices went crazy, like 3-4 years ago, now I actually drive to pick up everything anyways. I used to pay for like normal, not Uber, like just normal pizza delivery. And then the prices got so crazy. I'm like, I'm driving.
It's a third more now for a regular pie, eh? I saw a client.
It's insane. I mean, everything's insane. Everyone's hating them on, but everything's insane.
But has that not, like Carlo, has that not made you want to cook more?
Well, it depends where you grew up. We barely eat out, so.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed our world.
Yeah.
My world, personally. We eat out maybe once a month, so 12 times a year. That's it.
It was scary.
And that's because you have kids, right?
Yeah, but that's why you do it, because then you don't want them
pizza
to
night,
eat all that crap, right?
Pizza night, and that's it. Yeah, it's all poison.
It's this whole construction landscape across the whole country is changing for the worse, man.
A government.
It's just the rules that they're implementing, like getting rid of the gas lines. What I really don't like is now you start getting Enbridge, our gas service, and their lobbyists complaining about this.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're spending money to fight it, and where do you think that money's going to come from? Your gas bill. You're going to get a fee now.
At this point, does it matter anymore? Between the carbon tax and this tax and that tax, does it matter anymore? Like, I mean, if at least if someone's doing something in a good way for us, please, I'll pay for it.
And then the other biggest problem going on right now is that the government's spending so much money trying to get more people into trades.
Yeah, I told you from years ago that it never made sense to me. We're not short. Everyone keeps promoting the shortage. Now there's thousands of guys sitting at home right now.
And all these new kids.
What shortage?
They're out for good.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So they've been trained, studied.
And they only promoted it, again, I said in the past, they only promoted it because they've been paying to prop up all the bullshit schools that promise them false things. It's a wheel that's got to keep turning.
Safety Corner, your weekly guide to safer construction. Introducing Safety Corner, the latest must-watch show from the creators of The Construction Life. Co-hosted by safety expert Philip Farrar and powered by his S1 Safety Division, this 30-minute weekly series cuts through the noise to bring you real footage and raw insights from actual job sites. No fluff, just hard-hitting analysis, and Philip and myself break down what went right, what went wrong, and what could have gone catastrophically wrong. Each week, we tackle the biggest safety issues facing the industry today, sharing the knowledge every tradesperson needs to make it home safe. Whether you're on the job or managing the site, Safety Corner is here to help you build smarter, safer, and better. Tune in to revolutionize the way you approach safety on the job. Catch Safety Corner weekly because safety isn't just important, it's essential.
Taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, they got their hands. Next is going to be schooling. They're going to mandate, I guarantee you, in the future, that you're going to have to do some type of fucking four-year course to get into the trades. I guarantee you. Anything that'll make them money.
Well, they're already keep offering, a wheel turning. What is it that you can leave high school 2 years early now and do a full co-op, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, which I'm planning on doing with my son.
Okay. But
yes, that's the beginning stage of what I'm talking about in the future. I guarantee you in the future, listen, schooling's dropped now. No more immigration, right?
Yeah.
So all these teachers are going to lose their jobs, right? Which is funded by the Liberal government, right?
Yeah.
What now they're sitting in the rooms thinking, how can we keep these people working? Let's start a four-year certificate for trades. I guarantee you that's coming down the pipeline. Mark my words.
To train kids that won't get in, they won't find a spot into the industry.
No, it's just another cash grab. It's another requirement that you're going to have to do to get into now the trades. Like, it's a world of a difference between what it was when I started to what it is now. It's actually shocking to me. Like, right now they're promoting it. It's looked so good on, like, everyone's talking about it. It's the best job to get is in the trades. And to me, it's shocking because when people laughed at me, told me, of course you're going to go into the trades. That's where all the immigrant construction people with no future go, right? This is what we were told.
Shit over and over.
Right? So to experience that every day, looked down upon for years, and then to be flipped 180 now is insane to me.
But those same people are the idiots that are online social media and they're looking at all this beautiful construction in different areas of the world. Who do you think fucking built those things?
They won't give us props for that.
Like, they're finding these amazing ideas, this amazing furniture, woodworking, home ideas, like, you know, doors that swing, you know, pivoted on a third axis into showers so you have more space now for tight quarters. Like, who do you think's installing and designing and building all this shit?
Yeah, they won't give you appreciation for any of that, unless it's like the people higher up. But we're still on the low of the totem pole, right?
Right. But yet there, and I have a problem because I just shared a clip there from a previous, much longer show ago, where a lot of the parents of the old school don't want their kids to get into construction because they have that kind of mindset where they don't get the respect that they are deserved.
Yeah, I mean, that shouldn't matter. That shouldn't matter.
Really. But it comes up.
I know, yeah, sure.
You'll get a lot of old school parents that will say, I don't want you to get in there. I don't want you doing it.
That's a little helicopter parenting. I mean, I get a lot of resumes right now.
A lot of people reaching out.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even hiring. I don't think I've hired at all this year. And I've seen a huge jump in resumes being
sent. What percentage of those resumes have those pre-apprenticeship bullshit courses?
I don't read them.
Oh, you don't even look at them?
No, so
you don't
I'm not hiring. I'm not entertaining this. You
just get them in your inbox and that's it.
Yeah, tons of inbox, tons of DMs. What I do is I will respond to everyone's email when they're trying. I won't read their resume because I'm not hiring, but I will respond to all the emails I get on making their odds. Like, I've helped out a lot of kids trying to get into the trade. I just give them pointers and advice. Like you applying, is this camera? Yep. Don't get your parents to apply for you.
No, you have to.
I can't tell you how many parents, my son and daughter, right there is an X. I will not call your kid. Even if I was hiring, no initiative, get off your ass and go apply yourself. If your parents apply for you, that is not good.
No, it won't go anywhere.
I don't know why they think it's a good idea. I've never seen this before. This is something very new that I keep seeing now. My son and daughter, how old is he? 25. What the hell are you applying for him for? He's 25 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to speak.
He's trying. Can you give me this? Why isn't he asking me these questions? Why isn't he emailing me these questions?
This is what I'm trying to figure out about the presentation of the construction industry and tradespeople in general when it comes from the government. Where are they getting their information from? Because anybody who's compiling this information,
they're not talking to the people in the trades.
That's what I mean.
But yeah.
What segment of the trades or the construction industry are they speaking to? Are they speaking to the unionized, the high rise? Are they speaking to the big players
out there?
I don't even think they're speaking to them.
That's literally what I'm telling them on the email. You got to take initiative. Like you thinking you've done your daily duty by sending 100 emails, that doesn't show me nothing. Now
follow up on the 100.
Show up in person.
Show up on the site. Find out where they're working.
So my number one piece of advice I tell everybody trying to get in trades is if you really want to get into trades, print hard copy a bunch of resumes and hang out at all the suppliers.
Yeah, because they're showing up there every morning.
Even if they're not hiring, they'll see you every day trying, showing initiative. Your odds of getting hired just doing that alone is 100-fold compared to anybody who sends me an email. Right? Get off your ass. Get off your ass.
Yeah.
That's how I got in the trade. I was going shop to shop, bringing coffees at 16 years old, shop to shop in the GTA. Are you hiring? Here's a coffee. And then I would become, what's your name? Give me your phone number. They wouldn't answer my call. This is before email. They wouldn't answer my call unless I did that. You have to get off your, that's how I started my company. No one knows you exist. I went building to building. Who's your building manager? Who's your project manager? Do you need an electrician? This is what I do. This is how I got my first contracts. I actually drove, got off my ass.
How many times were you told, no, fuck off, get away from me?
99%.
Yeah.
It just takes that one. Just that one person to give you that one contract. He tells a buddy or he switches companies.
How did Dylan find you?
His friend who I hired as an apprentice. Not that good of an apprentice at the time.
Okay.
He said, I said, I need another apprentice. Do you have any friends? And he said, yeah, I've got a buddy who's in George and Brown taking engineering. I said, give me his phone number and the location. And then he went to George and Brown, plucked him out of school, didn't even let him finish, and said, go work with Carlo.
What year was he in?
First year.
He just got started.
He was 18. He was 18, fresh. And I was like, I think he was going to become an engineer, if I'm not mistaken. Some type of engineer. I'm like, no, come with me.
Do you think, I think this is going to happen. I think starting next year, I think it's already starting this year, a lot of these programs, like either it's George Brown or if it's Connors, or even just these pre-apprentices, or all you've seen them. You've seen all these kind of ideas out there to mm-hmm. help more people to get into the construction industry.
Yeah.
I think they're going to lose all their funding to do this, and then they're not going to put any sweat equity to continue it.
Well, they have a model that's not built on profit because they're getting funded by the government. The whole thing, they took our grants away.
Yeah.
The people who hire the apprentices, the people who sign up the apprentices, they took all our grants away unless you are a minority. They will give you the grant. Right? So I have white males. I got denied my grants for the first time in 15 years. So I got $0 in grants.
You got people that actually want to learn, be an apprentice, yep. do their hours, get on site.
Who put in the sweat equity, who show up every day.
And they can't get the funding and support.
I'm not signing anybody up on day one. They got to put in the sweat, show me. So the Dylan's apprentice, he came knocking on my door with a resume, you know, showing initiative. And I gave him a shot and he's proving himself every day as we go along. He's learning lots of patience, blah, blah, blah.
But those grants would have been nice.
I used to get 10 grand. I used to get a $10,000 grant
they got rid of
to be paying my apprentice, which cost me as a business owner, it cost me about $65,000 a year as a first year apprentice.
Yeah.
It cost me $65,000. He's not making me any money as a first year apprentice. It cost me $65,000 to give him that opportunity. That's what I tell him. Don't blow it. because you're costing me money. Don't squander it. Don't blow it. And people who have been trying to get registered, they know how hard it is to get that opportunity. Those are the ones I'm going to hire. The people who have been trying for a long time. If you're fresh out of school, I'm not giving you a shot. You have no idea what I'm giving you. Right? I know. My guys know. You do. You got to. You got to really try. You got to.
I mean,
really
what do you
try.
Think? You think that's pushing away the white people, for lack of a better word?
Well, the government did it. I didn't. My hiring was not based on color or race.
Yeah,
it's based they on skill. Literally put a piece of paper that said you will get A, B, and C if you are a minority, a woman. Like, what is this?
I've had a number of organizations reach out to me to come on the show, and I've been vetting them. I've been speaking to them. I've been asking them questions. I've been asking them to send me information. I've been trying to get a landscape of what their operating system is all about.
Yeah.
I'm having conversations with some of the employees there. To be very fucking honest, they're completely clueless when it comes to real construction, mm-hmm. but yet they're heavily funded. And then I say no. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't want you on the show because I don't support it. I don't believe in it. And I'm not a DEI supporter.
No, I just
bottom
got
line.
I actually just got an email a couple of weeks ago from a 23-year customer that I've had, probably one of my biggest customers. And they sent me a DEI thing that I had to fill out.
What do you mean, a form or some shit?
Yep, a form, mandatory form that I had to fill out.
From the government or something?
No, it's from their company. It's not a government company. It's from their company that's based out of the UK, who does a lot of work in Canada and US. And I filled it all out, and there was one section in that form that said, I don't know how they put it, but pretty much, are you a woman? Are you a homosexual? Are you in one of those groups?
How do you identify yourself?
Yeah, how do you identify yourself, okay. Right? And then on the very top, it did say legally they have to put this voluntary. So I didn't fill it out, right? I send it off. It has all my information except that portion filled out. Right away, they sent me back, you forgot to fill out the part. And then I sent it back. I cropped it. I made it in bold, voluntary, and I sent it back. That was my answer. And they haven't responded since.
And this was for a project for you to do work on?
No, this is just to update my credentials in their system. Don't you think that's personal to even if I was a minority,
applicable.
How does that A, have anything to do with my company, and B, it's personal?
Yeah, it's not applicable.
Why are you asking these questions?
No, I've never asked a single trade person that.
No,
there's no reason.
My next hire, more than likely, I can almost promise you, and I've already told my guys this, my next hire will be a woman. And it's not because I'm getting a grant, because now you only get a grant if you hire a woman.
Really?
Like, as long as they're not a white male, you're going to get a grant. So I'm going to legitimately hire them because I feel they're really going to appreciate the opportunity because they don't get hired as much as anybody else. Yeah. And I know they're not going to squander it.
No.
The only problem I have in my specific setting is they're usually not strong enough. So generators, I need you to lift up a generator.
Yeah, it's got some weight, but it's two people, no?
It's two people, but it's still heavy.
Yeah.
It's still heavy.
What is the weight of a gen?
500, 550. Two people on one each end. It's heavy, man.
It's a casket. Heavy. Yeah.
It's heavy.
I mean, it's heavy, right?
It's heavy.
Is there an easier way to do it?
Yeah, there is.
Dollies or some shit. But then again,
they can only go so far.
Yeah, you're only
we have a dolly, we drag them.
Terrain,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's steps, the problem. All that stuff.
Four on forklifts.
Yeah, those can only work. Yeah, we
they're have not high enough.
Yeah, we have everything. It's just you're still gonna have to pick it up and move it around. No matter what.
Ask an Egyptian how they did it.
Well, they don't even know how they did it. What are you talking about?
Nobody asked the Mexicans.
One of the mystery.
In the Mayans, right? Nobody asked them who did it.
Yeah, and I'm getting, you know, they've let in a shit ton of immigrants. And
so you get a lot of them reaching out to you.
A lot of them. And if there is excess opportunity, by all means, I will give it to them. But I will serve Canadians first. I will not watch a Canadian who's been here his whole life paying taxes suffer looking for work. And I'm going to give that opportunity to someone who hasn't paid into the system like they have. So you can crucify me for that statement.
No, I know. It's not.
This is how I feel.
It makes
and I'll
sense.
Stand on that.
Yeah.
So.
But you're running a business. That's the thing about it. And the sad truth of it is 2/3 of the workforce are you guys.
Yeah, but they're dangling grants in front of you.
I know. The 1/3 is controlling it, though.
I'm not
1/3 of the trade force is being run by the wealthy construction companies. Mm-hmm. And then they're telling the other 2/3, how this is going to work, which is not right because the 2/3 are the ones that are keeping the ship
and going. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, it's going
to
get
because right now, the only way to get a person registered as an apprentice is for someone like me to sign them up. Right? That's the only way. Not there's not one course you can take. There's not one school or any amount of money that so will get you registered.
Business owner has to do this.
Yes, and I know they hate that. I know the government hates that. They're going to try something. They're going to change something. Because there's thousands of people who want to get registered. And we can't register, not because we don't want to, it's because the rules that are in place, right? You have to work with a journeyman.
Yeah.
That journeyman costs me $120,000-$130,000 a year.
Yeah.
So I got to pay $120,000 for a journeyman to be available for you at my cost, right?
So you got to figure out if it's profitable for your business.
Well, yeah, that like my journeyman Dylan already has his apprentice. Yeah. So I'm not going to get an apprentice for myself because I'm not on the job sites every day. So that person's only going to get 20 hours. Because I was even thinking about maybe I should give a kid an opportunity, but let them know you're only going to get 24, 25 hours a week because that's all I'm going to be on the site.
Would any kid today take that?
I don't know. I would have to get the opportunity.
Well, that's why I said today.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they would. I'm sure there is.
Construction is going to be a different looking animal.
I've had kids asking, "I'll work for free. Just give me the."
They just want to be there.
They just want to be there.
Prove themselves.
Yeah, and which is
but that's far and fantastic. Few. That's not the majority.
No, that's rare. But yeah. I have gotten a couple of those, and I admire what they're doing. Like that's the way to do it. Like I guarantee you, that person who said that to me is already working.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
Because he found something.
Yeah. So that's what drives me nuts. If you really want the opportunity. It's there, man. You just got to go and get it. You sending 100 emails ain't going to do it. You calling ain't going to do it. Text me. Stop that.
Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how people-first leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com. Or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast. Do you think it's bad that these young kids get into the union route?
No, first? The union has a good purpose, good and bad with everything, right? So the union has a really good purpose when it comes to learning, teaching, safety, and skills.
Yeah.
100%. They've got all the schooling for you, which is important and you need to have and know. When it comes to learning the trades hands-on, terrible.
I agree.
That's all.
Totally, 100%.
Right? In non-union, I'm going to push you to what I think you're capable of. Obviously, safety is in mind, but you know, you're going to be doing a panel by the time you're third year if I feel that you're okay. I'll be watching you do it. I will be teaching you. You will be asking questions, and I will tell you. And I love that part of my job. I'm teaching the next guys.
Yeah.
Right? Dylan knows whether he likes to admit it or not. He's been with me and only me, so everything he knows is because of me.
Yeah.
Right? And hopefully, you want them to be better than you. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Right. So like now I'm pushing him. He's eligible to get his master's. Are you going to go get your master's? I told him. I don't know. And I'm pushing him. Go get your master's.
Why is he's not ready or he doesn't feel it? He's 10 years.
Yeah. He's eligible as of the past December. He's eligible. So I'm like, this year you need to get it while it's still fresh and you're still young. He's about to have his first, he's trying to have his first kid. So that's going to come.
Okay.
Right, he's trying. He's at that age. You might want to do this
now.
Things change,
of course. Right.
So then the year I got married is the I can't believe I did this, but the year that I got married on my honeymoon is when I decided to quit my job and start my company on my honeymoon. no income, first home. Glad it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out, though. It was a huge risk, but it worked out.
Huge risk.
But you know, at that age, you take the risk.
I did it at 27.
Yeah, so he's in the same boat.
He's in 28
That's now. When you take the risk, right?
Yeah.
At that point.
Well, I literally told myself it's now or never.
I forgot that you were telling me a little bit about the Tesla. How long did you have it for?
3.5 years.
Why did you get rid of it?
I wanted the upgrade. So when I bought it, they were cheap. When I bought it in 2015. When
was this? How far back?
2015.
Okay.
So Model S, brand new, was like 60. Right? Brand new. I got it used.
Wow.
Like a couple months used.
Okay.
I paid out the door. I paid $43,000 for a beautiful Model S. Those cars are beautiful. I don't know how you feel about them, but nope. Well, I like the look, right? Nope. I love the look. I love the power. I love the ox. I'm biased. I told you.
No, I get it. I understand. Right? So you had it for 3.5.
And it served this purpose. I put on in 3.5 years, I put on 160,000 kilometers in 3.5 years.
Plugging it into your house?
Plugging into my house. Cost me, I had an app, cost me $5.40 to charge it.
To charge it full?
Full.
And you get what range out of it?
500 kilometers at the time.
Winter times?
380.
Okay.
And I never went further than that. Rarely did I ever, in 3.5 years, I used a supercharger 6 times.
Do they give you, does the app, does it help you figure out what it would have cost if it was gas? The savings are comparable
on their app. No, but there are apps you can
calculate.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it served this purpose for me.
At the end of it, it served this purpose.
Oh yeah, yeah. And because the value, like they started just blowing up in 2019-18, they're getting popular and the prices went up because it got better in technology. So I sold my 3.5 year car for the same price I paid for it. And that's the only reason why I sold it. I wasn't going to sell it. Someone offered it. So at that time in 2019, it was impossible to find a Model S because they're only building at the time like 1,000 a year, 1,000 Model S's a year. So everyone was looking for them. And someone offered me $40,000. It was $3,000 less than what I paid for it.
And you had 100 and what?
160,000. Right? So I was like, okay, here you go.
I guess it's different for EVs at that point because all you're really changing are pads and tires.
That's all I changed in 3.5 years. How
many kilometers you have anymore? But the battery eventually at some point.
Well, at that time in 2015, any Model S you bought had a lifetime warranty on everything.
Doesn't have that anymore.
Free supercharging for life. Wow. Free lifetime warranty on everything, not just the motor and the battery, everything.
But not now, though.
No. Now they're popular. They can do that. They can now. It's like 80,000 kilometers and unlimited kilometer, or 80,000 kilometers for 5 years. I think is what's on the motor, and the lifetime the battery warranty. I think is 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, right now.
So what happens after 10 years?
You shouldn't. It should degrade enough that you don't even want it, anyways. I think after 10 years, it'll degrade to like 70%.
So what's the mindset that Tesla's saying that you scrap it or you replace it?
Well, the average person only keeps a car for 5 years. That's a fact.
Society now. Yeah, they're designing everything to just be replaced in intervals. Yeah. That's all it is.
So that's what that is.
But you wouldn't want to keep it.
I would. I keep my cars as long as I can.
Yeah. So. I'm hanging on to my current car for as long as
Who wants a car payment?
Yeah, I don't. That's exactly why I'm hanging on to
A to B. Right. A to B, man.
Payments are done now. That's the thing about payments. It. So that's how I look at it, but they have a bunch of cars that are on loss right now that they need to offload.
Yeah.
That's their problem, not my solution. I don't care about that anymore.
I think the misinterpretation, though, is everyone thinks for some reason that everyone's EV is on the same scale, the bar.
It's not.
It's not.
Hyundai's are different. Fords are different.
Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Ford. They're all not even. Their tech right now in EV, everybody else's tech in EV is pretty much where Elon was in 2015 when I bought mine. That's what you're going to get. Like when you get a brand new Ford F-150 EV, it feels like you're going to the exact same experience that I had in 2015. You know how much more better Tesla's got since 2015?
That for sure.
So,
but as an electrician, we know for a fact that if everybody was EV,
you can't do it.
Like this city, this country can't sustain that.
But is that why you hate them? Because they're pushing
it? No, it's not because I don't
appreciate the tech.
No, it's not the tech. Listen, all the bells and whistles are kind of cool. But remember, this thing, I probably use 10% of the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
I have a major problem with the EMF and being in the pool of it.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that there is some data to prove that that does affect your body.
Probably right.
So I have a problem with this too, right? Like I'm not using Bluetooth earbuds anymore.
Nope.
I got rid of all of them. I'm on a wire if I want to, or
a
speaker.
When I go to sleep, it's far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like for me to sit in a chair where there's the whole bed is battery. Mm-hmm. There's a mortar in the front, mortar in the back. And I'm in this pool of EMF.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's going to affect your body. So that's I want nothing to do with that.
Yep.
That's the number one. The second reason is that it's a heavy vehicle, mm-hmm. and we've seen what these vehicles do in collisions.
Yep.
It's almost like being in a semi
yep.
collision. And that's horrific. Like if you take a Tesla and you hit a smart car, that smart car is a pancake now.
Did you ever see that episode with Joe Rogan talking about how the EVs get built on the whole mining? They're using child labor.
I saw that, the lithium.
And that was a big wake up call.
That's another thing.
That was a big wake up call for me.
This too.
Yeah.
Laptops, yep. everything.
But that was a big wake up call. Like yeah. I look at all this differently ever since that episode. Yeah.
I have a problem with that, right? And look what's going down.
I'm talking about as a fan appreciating the tech, minus all the stuff in the background.
Tech is great.
It's incredible, man.
Right? But I still have a fear of AI. I still have a fear.
Like
when you get Elon talking about how Skynet is real and it's possible and that's what's possibly going to happen in the future.
Already has.
I'm like, dude, it's already going on.
Freaks us out.
Yeah.
There's no stopping it.
You're talking about shit like this and all of a sudden you see a commercial, like an ad come up for something that you were just discussing freely.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, but there's nothing you can do about it. So you might as well pivot as best as you can.
10 years ago when Facebook was coming out, the first thought I had was, this has got nothing to do with socializing. It's got everything to do with collection of data.
Yeah, well.
That's exactly what it is. It's a data farm.
I was very
Tesla's.
I was very vocal about the whole DNA 23andMe when it first came out. 17 years ago is when it came out. And I specifically remember that day because I got into a huge argument about it. So I was telling everybody on the top of my lungs 17 years ago, this is a terrible idea. You do not give the one thing that is unique to you to someone else. This is a God-given gift.
I never agreed with that.
And I was yelling it. So now those same people from that time, they're like, yeah, man, you were right. And I'm like, how did you not know that it was a terrible idea? They just got bought out by the whole 23andMe. They just got bought out by...
By who? Scary individual.
What the famous three there? Rock
Nation. Rock. So you're talking about BlackRock and Vanguard.
They just bought 23andMe. They have everyone's personal information. You can't get any more personal than your own specific DNA.
Well, because that's the thing.
Terrible idea.
I remember like the second year of doing this show, the home automation guy was on the show, and I asked him about what's the future all about, and he just talked about data.
Yeah.
That's the currency of the future.
We're here. That's where all the money's
made. What they're doing. They're now predicting when you're going to die.
Yep.
Based on what you're
doing. They always have done that.
Yeah. I know, but they've done it in smaller scales. But now they're actually like, when I heard about Apple's new AirBuds, the Bluetooth ones, that they can actually monitor your brainwaves and everything. And I'm like,
And Elon's fixing, again, there's good and bad. The good is he's doing that whole, you can make paralyzed people walk again with that neural.
Yeah. That's the good side of
that's
this.
A good side, but
yeah,
the problem with that is like everything else, someone else evil gets a hold of hit that tech and twists it. That's not good. So how do you protect it? Like if that guy passes away or dies or gets murdered, what happens to what happens to all the stuff that he created? Like isn't literally that's why Nikola Tesla died and they took all his tech. The history of Nikola Tesla.
That's Westinghouse and that's Edison and all that shit.
That was a whole scam back then.
Nikola, he was all about, I want to make cheap energy for everybody.
Yeah.
So everyone could benefit from
it. It was a huge war.
And that's not what they wanted to do.
But it was a huge war against AC versus DC.
Well, I know. Yeah. I know that whole thing about that, right? And then look at who won.
Yeah. The system.
That's why we're paying
the system.
What we pay.
The system.
So a guy like Elon, I think he plays both sides. He goes where it works, but he's still kind of standing up for the little people. But
he's an interesting individual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm a fan of what he's done, but I don't trust anybody. So, yeah.
I want to see people start coming up with ideas where you can disconnect, man. Completely disconnect.
Oh, it feels great.
Like there's tracking on this. You know like your habits. You actually, they know your habits on what you're scrolling.
Yep.
What sites you're going to.
You're seeing your eyes on the road
where you're driving now. Yep. Any of the. It's not even the EVs because any new car technology that has connectivity, there's still data dumps there.
Yeah, everything. They took all the tech from.
I want a roll-down car.
Yeah.
I want a turnkey car.
Imagine the kids.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I know.
I want a...
And they're making it illegal to have that. Yeah. And we're...
But then you move to Cuba or something like that. I don't fucking know you. Well, I know, but because of the cars, right?
Yeah.
They make cars last forever.
The only reason why, like, again, bias, and because this is how I'm thinking. I'm an electrician. I've got a generator. If there's ever a power outage, my generator can charge my car.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that option. I'm not saying I like it better or more than a gas. I love, like, my next...
It continues your freedom.
yeah, my next purchase, so I've never had really a really nice car to myself that I've ever wanted, because I've been busy planning and paying and saving. So I always tell my wife, the day is coming very soon that I'm going to buy what I want to buy. I'm just giving you a heads up. So I'll get mad when I do it. And she's like, yeah, you deserve it. Well, I got to give her a heads up,
right? You get mad when you want it.
You just can't come home with a car and not tell her. She won't get
mad because she's probably going to want to drive it too.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't care for it. She has zero. Zero.
They say that.
I'm telling you.
But then if they see it in the driveway or they see it in the garage.
Nope. She will. She does not care. She does not care for that stuff. Anyways, I gave her a heads up. It's coming soon. We're almost there now. It's coming soon. Yeah. I'm going to buy something. I haven't even decided on which one. Put it that way.
Sometimes I'm not a fan of all this new tech. Like, I still miss gear shift.
Oh, yeah. But, like, you know how hard it is to find a 5-speed, 6-speed?
Well, you can spend the money on a brand new Porsche. They offer it.
Literally the only one that I know. Them and Mustang.
Mustang is offering it, yeah, too.
That's
but
it.
I don't like the Mustangs.
Even the Corvette, that's gone.
Corvette doesn't come in stick option?
Nope. They stopped it. The new CH stopped making it in stick in 2021, I think.
That's stupid. It should continue with stick.
But I hear a lot of problems with the stick version. I hear it's better to go automatic.
Really?
Yep. I have a couple friends who have them in stick, and they're constantly bitching about something about the heat. I'm talking about Corvette.
Okay.
So I'm talking about the heat temperatures in
these new models, the like 21s?
Yep. CHs. Brand new CHs. And he went from a stick to an automatic, and he said it runs way better.
Problem is because
the big
three U.S. makers spent too much time and effort on the EV train trying to figure that out.
I think it's, but you see it dying now. You see everyone pulling the plug on the EV.
Well, they have to because they're not making money.
That's right. Because you can't force us to buy it.
You still have shareholders and you still got to be profitable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point of carrying a debt?
They should just keep it on the side and it's an option.
It's an option.
Right?
I've always said it's an option.
A Tesla Model 3 is the same price as buying a Honda Civic. Right? So it's your option. If you only go to work in a little bubble.
Yeah.
That's a good option.
Yeah.
It's your prerogative.
I want consumer options, man.
Yeah.
Carlo, what are we going to do? We'll do 12 questions again, man.
Sure.
Effect Electric, IG, Effect Electric, LTD, Carlo at EffectElectric.com. Or is it EffectElectricLTD.com? Your email?
No, just EffectElectric.com.
Carlo at EffectElectric.com. Yep. And Kohler represented. Does Kohler give you a lot of good swag or what?
They do. Like they do. Our next conference is coming up.
A new car, a new truck or something?
No. But they do give us a lot of stuff.
What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Get her done.
Least favorite tool?
A plumber? A vibrating tool there. Oscillator.
Oh, the oscillator, the multi-tool.
Yeah.
What do you miss from your childhood?
Freedom.
A lot of adults are going to miss that too. Mm-hmm. What construction sound do you love?
That's a good question. I don't even remember. I don't know. I honestly just love everything. I love it all.
The whole vibe. The whole vibe. Favorite beverage?
Tequila now. Tequila now.
Thanks so much for the bottle. Yeah, man. Appreciate that.
It's my favorite tequila. Nice. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have some tonight, man.
You should.
I'm not driving anywhere. I play safe. What turns you on and off in construction?
People's grind turns me on. The motivation, the work ethic, for sure. It's not easy.
It's not at the forefront anymore. I don't see it.
Well, they're making excuses to not work like that now. Making it soft, and that there's no good road going down.
When
you've
got a species that orders Uber and has it from the food that's in the same building that you live in.
That's crazy.
I have a serious, I don't know what to think about the future.
There's a couple IG accounts that I follow online. And man, there's literally a handful. Out of all the accounts I follow, there's literally a handful that I can 100% relate to them. The rest of them are full of shit.
I know. What about off?
Turns me off in what, construction?
Yeah.
Laziness.
Favorite curse word?
Fuck you. Yeah.
Okay, favorite vehicle, any mode of transportation?
Right now?
Whatever it is.
C8 Corvette.
Black? Red?
Candy apple red, though.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
I've done it all. I'm content.
You don't want to try anything new?
Nope. I'm good.
Politics?
Oh, hell no.
It's actually not even a profession.
You're not allowed in my house if you're a politician.
I wouldn't consider it a profession. I wouldn't consider it a trade or a skill. Nobody has, there's no pre-apprentice politician
course. After what all the MPPs have done in the past 4 years?
It's ridiculous and got away with, and now they shut down the House of Commons until they fucking release all that data.
The scandals?
About the scandals, yeah. Right? And you know that they're right now just
trying it's to not just Trudeau. It's all of them. It's the MPPs who allowed this to happen.
I want this list released. What profession would you not like to do?
I said it before. I'll say it again. Gynecologist.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You've done a good job.
Carlo, always a pleasure to see you, bro. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the bottle. Yeah, anybody's interested in getting a Jenny, and there's a promotion going on.
Just promotion until November 20th, free transfer switch. And yeah, we'll
you're
do
booking
it all.
What? Like if they were to call you tomorrow?
3 weeks out.
That's not that bad.
No.
But they'll still honor it? Doesn't matter.
Until March of next year. Or May. Is it May or March? One of them.
Oh, they'll honor it until then?
Yep. As long as you show that you're in the process with a deposit.
You got to put a deposit down. Yep. That's it.
That's it.
What's the deposit? Like what percentage of it?
My deposit's about $3,000.
That's not that bad.
No.
And then you can get it on the schedule and get it done.
Yep.
You guys install them during the... Well, I guess a little...
We go until January. Until the ground's frozen. Because we can't dig anymore.
You can't dig.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to surface mount if you want to do
Yeah, that. A lot of people will start pouring their pads and getting ready for us.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they'll run the pipes.
They'll run the pipes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you just run the lines long enough.
Well, the lines have to be in the pipes. Because once it fills up with water, they freeze. That's it.
Yeah, it's done. No, yeah. But I mean, they actually... Put an because the thing is the tech cable is stupid expensive, right?
Yep.
Stupid. Like yeah, how much yeah. is a tech cable?
$32 a foot now, on average. That's for like the there's ones that are $100 a foot.
It's almost the same cost as an Uber delivery to your same business. I fucking can't get over that. All right, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. We're out of here.